Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. If you remember, when we looked at chapter 10 and the spread of the gospel taking place there, as God did what he had promised he would do and the gospel is spreading, and we looked at a number of characteristics of that. But now Peter has to explain himself, explain his actions, because he had done something that was considered scandalous to many, and that is he had gone into the house of Gentiles and had fellowship with them. Most of us in this room are Gentiles. But it was a scandalous thing for people like us to be fellowshipping with Jewish people, because the Jews were God's people set apart. Now, Acts 11, 1 through 18, this is God's word. "The apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, 'You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them.' Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it had happened. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who'd been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In this passage, we actually see all five of the great Reformation truths. The five solas are all represented here. What's a sola? Well, I'm glad you asked. It's beyond your pay grade. No, this is something children can understand. The solas are the five great Reformation emphases that said, these are the things you have to understand. All right? And so I'm not going to give them to you in Latin. I'm going to give them to you in English, which is very much in keeping with the spirit of the Reformation and with the spirit of our God. The first one, sola scriptura, that means only scripture. What do you mean only scripture? Only scripture what? It means that when there's a question as to what's right, it's not someone with a special collar. It's not someone with a seminary degree or two or three. It's the scripture. It's the scripture. What does the Bible say? Because what the Bible says doesn't change. My graduate degree was in church history. And one of the things you can't miss if you study church history is how things have changed over the years while staying the same. I mean, there was actually an embarrassing period in the history of the Western Church where there were three popes at the same time. And each one excommunicated the other two. Okay, they had to sort it out. Eventually, one won out. But let me just tell you, God's word doesn't change. God's word does not change. So only scripture is the first of the five. The second one is only Christ. The third one is only faith. The fourth one is only grace. And the last one is glory to God alone. Glory to God alone. God is the one who gets all the glory. Now, we're going to see those five in the text, okay? Are you forcing your theology into the passage? No, I'm trying to show you that this is utterly consistent with what God says from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus, after his resurrection, said to his followers, how slow you are to believe what the scriptures say. And he opened their minds and they began to go through and he showed them how over and over and over and over and over the things that happened, his death, burial, and resurrection, were exactly what the scriptures said. And so once they understood that, it totally changed their lives. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, as we saw earlier in our study of Acts, preaches not only the gospel, but he calls upon the Old Testament as evidence that this is what God had said would happen. And he cites what David had written, but the way he cites it is important to our first point. He says, God spoke through David. That's what we know about the scriptures. This is God's word. Where do you see that in this passage? Well, let's look at verse 1, shall we? Verse 1 says, the apostles and the brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. The word of God. There it is in the first verse in this passage. What did they receive? They received the word of God. Look at verse 14. The vision that Simon had seen of the angel said, he will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. It's a message through which people are saved. Anybody remember Romans 1:16? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news. It is the power of God for the salvation of those who believe. This message changes the lives of those who believe it. But it is the Word of God. That's why it has that power. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. Don't lose your place in Acts. 1 Corinthians 15. When the Apostle Paul is wanting to remind the believers in Corinth. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. The Word of God does not change. The Word of God changes you. It changes us. And that's why sola scriptura, only scripture, doesn't mean, well, the only thing I will listen to is the Bible. What it means is, when push comes to shove and I have to decide, is this right, or is this right? My test is, which one lines up with the Bible? Okay? Well, I grew up in a tradition where da-da-da-da-da. Well, I don't give a rip. Okay? You know, I grew up in a church that was so cold in many ways, you could ice skate down the aisle. Okay? That's figuratively speaking, not literally. I still take the word literally, literally. Unlike our culture. But, I mean, It was a cold atmosphere. If we had had motion detectors in the church to save on the light bill, lights would have gone out every service. Okay? I mean, we were taught to sit still and be quiet. And when singing came, nobody raised their hands. Okay? I mean, it was I mean, like for an hour. Anyway, and so, Pastor Wood, I see you've completely overthrown that tradition, and now you're doing something in rebellion. No, what I seek to do, the reason I raise my hands in worship is because God says he likes that. Old and New Testament, it encourages believers to celebrate the presence of God and the truths that we are sharing in worship by raising our hands, okay? So, well, I'm not comfortable with that. I don't care. It's not about your comfort. Well, I go to church to be comfortable. Well, then, shame on you. It's not about comfort. It's not about what we like. Lord, what would you have me do? I want to do what you say. Sola scriptura. They received the word of God. The message that they received was what brought salvation. Second, only Christ. Only Christ. Verse 17 is going to be a key verse in this. So if God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God? Who did God give that gift to? He gave it to those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one of the five, the next one in most people's numbering of them, is only faith. Only faith, only Christ. You can put those in either order you wish. But it's not faith in faith. It's faith in Christ. If you have enormous faith that you can fly, okay? There was a popular song a decade or two ago about, I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I believe you're nuts, okay? Please do not try this at home, okay? You can't fly. I mean, if you get an airplane, you can fly in a plane. If you get a glider, you can fly in a glider. But if you think you can do that just on your own because you believe it, you're mistaken. You're psychotic. Don't do that. Believing something with all your heart that is not true is not going to help you at all. It's really not going to help you. I just saw a story this week about some young adult who was hungry and no longer living with mom, and he had some pasta that had been unrefrigerated for a week. And he ate it because he believed it would still be safe, because after all, it was just pasta. He died from food poisoning. He didn't just get sick. He got sick with food poisoning and died. Okay? Well, what happened to the fellow? He believed the wrong thing. He believed the wrong thing. Now, he believed it sincerely. He didn't say, I bet this will kill me. He didn't even say, boy, I hope this is okay. He thought it out. He thought, you know, if this was something else, maybe it would go bad. But pasta, cooked pasta from a restaurant, that should be okay. I don't care how sincere you are, that's crazy. Just so you know, if food is left out for a week, unless it's like a loaf of bread from the store that's pumped with preservatives, and therefore will last for months. Just don't do that. Don't go there. Okay? I don't care if you're sincere. It's wrong. What about the other religions in the world? They're wrong. They're wrong. If you think you can earn salvation, you're wrong. If you think that it's not enough that Jesus died and that he died for me, I gotta do something. I know it doesn't seem fair for me to have sinned and Jesus pays the penalty. I don't think that's right. I think I should have to pay. And this group over here says if I give them money, I'll get off free. Don't believe it. The gospel is the truth. So the gospel is all about Jesus. When we talk about only faith and only Christ, it's faith in Christ. They believed, verse 17, and in verse 18 it says they repented. This is not just an intellectual faith. It's not just believing, yeah, I think that's true. It's wholehearted trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. Not Jesus plus my effort. Not Jesus plus the church. In Jesus. He's the one who saves. He's the only one who saves. There in 1 Corinthians 15, which we looked at just a moment ago, Paul goes on then to remind them of the message. And the message is this. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's the Word of God again. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised to life again according to the Scriptures. Twice in that little passage, it talks about the Word of God. That's how central to our faith the Word of God is. So only Scripture, only faith in Christ. Now, the problem I have is with this only faith part, okay? Because I think, you know, if you read the book of James, it makes it very clear that faith is not enough. No, it doesn't. What it says in James, which is God's Word, is that real faith will manifest itself in deeds, in good works. If it's just an intellectual thing and your life doesn't change, you're still living the same way you were before, you haven't trusted Christ. But if you are trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone, you will live differently. Does that mean I'll never sin again? Would that that were so. But no, it doesn't. So, faith alone in Christ alone, but something else here in verse 17. By grace alone. By grace alone? Where do you see that in verse 17? Well, please look. So if God gave them the same gift as He gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could oppose God? Do you notice gave and gift? They didn't earn it. Salvation comes as a gift from God. The Holy Spirit who transforms us comes as the gift of God. And so that's what grace means. It means we don't earn it. If we earned it, it wouldn't be grace because it wouldn't be a gift. It is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2. You hopefully know these verses. But Ephesians chapter 2 says it's because of His grace. It is by grace you've been saved, verse 5. And then verses 8 and following. For it is by grace you've been saved, through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. So, in this passage, Peter is explaining what happened, but in the course of doing so, he is reminding us, God is reminding us, of the basis on which we're saved. It is by grace, through faith, in Christ, in accordance with God's Word. And the consequence of that is that God is the one who receives all the glory, which is the fifth of the five solas. God is the one who receives all the glory. Look, it's right there in verse 18. When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised Peter and built a building in his honor. And no, that's not what they did. They praised God, saying, so then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. God is the one who did this. God is the one who deserves all the praise. If you are a Christian, don't pat yourself on the shoulder. Bow down and worship the one who saved you. God alone deserves the glory. Let me remind you, the authority is God's word. That's how we know what's true. And what's true, the message that changes us, is that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ. That's the only way of salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And therefore, we give God all the praise.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.